We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
KMOX Radio and St. Louis Talks presents The Day Before.
Good morning, America. We hope you had a nice weekend. A little discordant sound there, but it's okay. I'm Charles Gibson.
I'm Diane Sawyer, and it's Monday, September 10th, 2001. Good to be back from the weekend.
Yeah, it is. Nice to see you again. We got a lot of news this morning. There's a piece this morning in one of the news magazines, which really has people buzzing. The first real inside look at the Supreme Court justices as they determine the presidential election. Emotions boiling among the justices, as you've never heard them before. That is the buzz this morning, and we'll hear about that a little bit later.
And commuting hell.
Monday morning, September 10th, 2001.
But let's get the weather. Here's Tony Perkins.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. For most folks commuting this morning, it will be a dry commute. Let me show you the national map. We do expect to see rain in the eastern United States later today. In fact, there's already some rain in the eastern U.S. Temperatures for today for most of the nation, highs will be in the 70s and 80s. A little bit warmer than normal in many cities. Dallas, you're looking at a high today of 86 degrees. That's a look at what's happening with the weather around the nation. Now, here's what's happening in your neighborhood.
The forecast in St. Louis was sunny, a high of 78. Severe weekend storms damaged the Kiel Opera House roof, and several trees and headstones were knocked over at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. Jean Carnahan represented Missouri as a U.S. senator, sitting in the seat of her husband, Mel. They were directly impacted by these storms.
You were home alone, correct?
Yes.
What is it that happens that you realize there's a fire?
I had just flown in from Washington. And I had made a speech, and I'd come home with the idea of having a relaxing weekend, and a storm came up. And it was on Saturday night, and I heard this terrible thunderclap. I thought, well, maybe a tree has been hit. Well, it wasn't long after that that my brother-in-law, who lived down the road, walks in very calmly and says, you know, the house is on fire. Well, I walked outside, and I could see that it had started in the attic just above Robin's room. And I thought to myself, well, what item should I save? What should I take? And so I thought about, well, things you can't replace.
As you recall, just a year earlier, a plane crash tragically took the life of then-Governor Mel Carnahan.
Andrew, who was 8, and Austin, who just turned 13, that we had to tell them the farmhouse is burning and we've got to get to Rolla.
Well, Deborah, you also had to do something very similar a year earlier, when you all got in the car and came after the plane crash. So it was reliving that situation in a way.
Yeah, you just brought a few tears to my eyes on that one. But yeah, that's true. And, you know, the boys, they'd lived through a lot in less than a year on those types of situations where, you know, we've got to go.
The bottom fold of the Post-Dispatch was of a photo of Jean saving the family albums.
We tried to save as many books as possible, but still lost hundreds of books.
The headline was Rams 20, Eagles 17, an overtime win with a drive from Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce. A game-winning field goal by Jeff Wilkins means the Rams started the season 1-0. The Cardinals were a game back in the wildcard race, and Barry Bonds was chasing Mark McGwire's home run record. Southwest Bank was advertising a 5-year CD rate of 5.11%. And over the weekend, the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, performed at Riverport, with fans leaving happy but wet from the storms. And if you went to church on Sunday, the message you may have heard could have been similar to that of Dr. Keith Gilmeen at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Maryland Heights.
I started a series on the parables, and that was the parable of the mustard seed. It's a story that Jesus told about planting the smallest of all seeds, that it grows up to have the largest expansion or the largest result from such a small seed, where the birds and everything are even able to nest in its leaves and stuff. So the idea is that if you have the faith to size of a grain of a mustard seed, that you can move a mountain. And so that week I gave everybody a little mustard seed under a piece of tape on this little card. It was kind of hokey at the time, but it was a visual aid for people to use on having faith. And I suppose they really needed it the next couple of days, because that's when 9/11 hit.
The increasing layoffs and workforce concerns are chipping away at consumer confidence and blunting hopes of an economic recovery. It's early this Monday morning, the 10th of September, 2001.
From the heart of New York City, on Fifth Avenue at Trump Plaza, it's Bryant Gumbel and Jane Clayson. This is The Early Show on CBS.
And good morning. Welcome to The Early Show on a Monday morning. Feels like fall already. Back with Jane Clayson. I'm Bryant Gumbel. How was your weekend?
It was great. Went to the semis on Saturday, the U.S. Open. Semifinals.
Oh, the tennis.
The semis, yes.
The tennis stuff.
Yes, that's right. I know you didn't watch, but it was terrific.
From ABC News, this is World News This Morning. Now from our world headquarters in New York, here's Derek McGinty.
Good morning. After allegedly killing five people in a bloody rampage, a Sacramento security guard took his own life this morning after a shootout with the police. Authorities say 20-year-old Joseph Ferguson shot and killed four former co-workers, including his ex-girlfriend.
Later on an all-new Tonight Show, Jay and Keanu Reeves talk guy talk.
You know what we're doing now?
What are we
doing? We're doing The View. This is The View.
Plus, Talk Soup's Aisha Tyler, babyface, and headlines.
Area men honored for servicing cows.
Then on Conan, Regis Philbin.
Tonight's show's a firecracker.
I'll say, tonight.
You know, I was on my way to the golf course in the morning. I was on my way to Belle Reve Country Club. There was a lot of excitement in St. Louis. The American Express was a World Golf Championship event. They had 67 of the top 100 ranked players in the world here. And most importantly, they had Tiger Woods here, who had never been here before to play.
Dan O'Neill was a sports writer for the Post-Dispatch, and that week he was focusing on the PGA Tournament. One of the most popular athletes in the world, Tiger Woods, would arrive at Belle Reve Country Club for a clinic.
Tiger did a clinic on Monday, had big crowds and entertained everybody. And he was, he wasn't just the biggest star in golf, which he was at that time. I mean, earlier that year, he had won the Masters and at that point completed the quote-unquote Tiger Slam. So, when he won the Masters in April, he held every major championship title at once. So he was at the top of the heap in golf. But more than that, I mean, Tiger was more of like, in the entire sports world, more of like a Muhammad Ali type of character. And he just sort of transcended across all the sports. He was just a huge star.
About 5,000 people showed up for that Tiger clinic. Life felt, as we now look at it, normal. Today we look back 20 years at the events of September 10th, 2001, the day before it all changed.
The Day Before, a September 11th retrospective, continues next on KMOX. KMOX Radio and St. Louis Talks presents The Day Before.
The daytime talk show arena is about to get a little more crowded. MTV's Ananda Lewis is looking to shake things up on her own show. The Ananda Lewis Show debuts nationwide this morning. You nervous?
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah, I've been training 6 years for this. What's new?
All of 6 years.
All of 6 years. And you know what? Most of that has been live TV. So to be able to have something in the can, as we say, is really comforting for me. I've already seen the first show. It's cool. I know what's coming out.
You tell me, why does the world need another talk show?
Well, the world needs as many voices as it can get. 6 billion people or so, probably more, much more by now on the planet.
She wasn't the only syndicated syndicated show to launch on September 10th. So did Sean Hannity, who started a syndicated radio show later that day. If you were listening to KMOX, Charlie Brennan would have been following some untold yet important stories in government.
Yeah, on September 10th, 2001, the EPA announced that it was going to roll back its standards for arsenic in playground equipment and in decks that people sit on. And, of course, we did not discuss that on September 11th. I never heard of that topic again. It was also on September 10th that Forest Park decided to eliminate a proposal for some really gaudy and controversial wrought iron entrances that would have been on Skinker near Washington University. They were designed by a New York artist, but they did not go over very well with the public. The idea was dropped on September 10th. Nobody heard about it again.
In Eureka, firefighters would continue training that week, not realizing they would have that call to use the training in a matter of just hours, as described by Deputy Chief Will Stamberger.
You've been firefighters since 2001. What was going on prior to 9/11?
Technical rescue, where we came in and would do technical rescue training, whether it be high angle, confined space, trench, or any other disciplines that would be encompassed in technical rescue. It's the end of the season for Six Flags. They're open only on the weekends.
Sure.
We had selected the Ninja. Assistant Chief Tomnitz at the time was the one who led the team, and he selected the Ninja for doing confined space rescues.
So the training that you were doing that day would come in handy for a high-rise building?
Yeah, it could be used on a building if we needed to.
It would seem like routine training in Eureka on a normal morning. If you were young, you were returning to school in your new school shoes, as remembered by now two St. Louis Army recruiters.
So I'm from Spokane, Washington, originally. And at the time, I was attending Lakeside Elementary in 9 Mile Falls, Washington.
Does the 12-year-old know at that age what he wants to do for a living, or is he just thinking about having pizza that weekend with his family?
So my family has always said that I was really into either going into law enforcement or firefighting, something of that sort. So they always knew that I had some intention of helping people. They just weren't sure where I was going to end up exactly.
And Staff Sergeant Martin, you remember your life back then when you were 7?
I just knew I was into sports and going home and playing video games.
What sport was your favorite as a 7-year-old?
Playing basketball at the time. And that was like my main focus.
What did you love about basketball?
I guess I was just growing up watching Kobe Bryant. I just wanted to be like him. So that was like my inspiration to play basketball all the time.
That's Staff Sergeant Major O'Neill and Staff Sergeant Martin.
The faltering economy and its impact on government spending plans will be a major focus in Washington this week. ABC's Rebecca Cooper looks at some of what we can expect from the Capitol in the week ahead.
Students are back in school, and now reading, writing, and arithmetic are also on the agenda for Congress and the White House as President Bush pushes new reading and literacy programs this week, while Congress tries to write 13 spending bills without dipping into the Social Security Trust Fund. The 13 annual appropriations bills determine how the government will spend its money on all federal programs outside of entitlement.
Thank you. I know everybody said to me they're sick of reruns. I am too. This is our 16th season. Have a seat. Thank you so much for joining us. Our 16th season on the air, and we're going where we've never gone before. This is so bold. We call it Dr. Phil's Get Real Challenge. 42 strangers took part in this daring experiment designed to push them to their emotional limits and get real about their lives.
Oprah was trying something new to start the season. Maury Povich, on the other hand.
We changed our set a bit, but you know, what is not going to change are the compelling guests, riveting stories that you, the viewers, have grown accustomed to seeing on our show. So, with that in mind, let's get started. Today, we're going to meet angry young women, many of them teenagers, who say they are desperate to confront the men who they believe are the fathers of their babies. Teen paternity.
If you had a copy of the paper, Mariana Riley wrote about the inspirational story of a 21-year-old Kyle Olmsted of Kirkwood competing in a triathlon. And as someone with cerebral palsy, he had some help with a personal trainer, 61-year-old Deeds Fletcher.
There was another article in the newspaper, and his mom and dad saw it, and they called me up, and they read the article. It was really good because we were racing in Hawaii at the time. So she said, could you recommend a trainer? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So she said, well, can we meet? And I said, yeah, sure. So we met at a coffee shop in Kirkwood, just the three of us. We talked a whole bunch. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is really intriguing, because I've got six kids and 21 grandchildren. So it wasn't like it was the first time I was giving a lesson to someone. So I said, you know what? I think I'd like to do that. And she was all a Twitter. And so then we had to start from scratch.
Alex Rivas.
Hey, Johnny. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our show. If you were not watching last week, Ramsey's total, just announced by Johnny, would give you some idea as to the quality of his play so far on Jeopardy. Over 38,600.
I'll take a B.
Yes, you will.
Puzzle.
All right.
Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie.
That's it, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it was a beautiful ceremony.
It was.
I wasn't invited.
I saw
invited.
Pictures.
Oh, did you? Yep. I just like to pretend I'm with the in crowd and I'm not even close. $2,500.
Over at Belle Reve Country Club, the crowds were starting to pack in for the PGA tournament, as described by sports writer Dan O'Neill.
You know, a few players go out and play a practice round on Monday. More arrive and then go out. And Tuesday, Wednesday are sort of the practice round days, where all the players are out on the golf course and trying to get a feel for a golf course that they hadn't played before, in most cases, Belle Reve. So, you know, there was a lot of activity. They had huge crowds. Golf hadn't been here since the PGA Championship in 89, and they had huge crowds there to not just see Tiger, but see some of the biggest names in golf.
In September 10th, carried on as usual.
Hollywood pregnancy news from Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. What he told us about their second baby on the way. Then the latest trend in celebrity plastic surgery, hand lifts. We have the before and after.
This is Entertainment Tonight, the most watched entertainment news program in the world.
Michael Jackson's New York bash is our top Hollywood story. Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Goin.
And I'm Mary Hart. From a surprisingly thin Whitney Houston to the King of Pop with Elizabeth Taylor, it was a stunning and news-filled Jackson 5 reunion concert.
It's an event that only comes around once a year. And with Ellen DeGeneres as host, anything can happen. The Emmy Awards.
Whoa!
CBS Sunday. Join the stars and celebrate television's best all on one incredible night. Plus, don't miss Rob Reiner with a special tribute to Carol O'Connor. The Emmy Awards, live CBS Sunday.
And don't miss E.T. tomorrow, because Jan Carl has the first interview with Benjamin Bratt since his breakup with Julia Roberts. And The Musketeer is the new leader at the box office with an early estimate of $10.7 million. Second is Two Can Play That Game with just over $8 million. And Jennifer Aniston and Mark Wahlberg's Rockstar finished in a virtual tie with Jeepers Creepers with a little more than $6 million.
Coming up on Entertainment Tonight.
Sarah Jessica Parker gets sized up.
Box office totals, the latest celebrity gossip, no focus on war or terrorism. But soon the news would shift to a loved sports superstar returning to the game.
I guess this is what everybody is going to be talking
about.
Can't
wait to hear it.
This is big.
From his lips, last thing he said to all the guys he was hanging out with, there, you guys got your story.
The Day Before, a September 11th retrospective, continues next on KMOX. KMOX Radio and St. Louis Talks presents The Day Before.
The night of September 10th, the St. Louis Blues were in Anchorage, Alaska. They arrived a few days earlier in preparation of training camp. The team enjoyed some sightseeing. Chris Kerber and Jim Huer were salmon fishing. Game one with the Blues and the San Jose Sharks was scheduled for September 11th.
Because we skated on the 10th, and then obviously everything happened. The Sharks were supposed to meet us. They were coming up there. They had not left yet. Once everything happened.
That's Mike Caruso, then director of team services with the Blues.
September 10th, we just had a skate, went to check out the facilities. So we skated, and then I think we had a team meal later that night in the hotel. We went deep sea fishing. It was me, our assistant coach, Jamie Compon. I think our security, NHL security, Jim Mayer went with us. We went deep sea fishing for halibut. So everybody kind of had the time to do what they wanted to do on that day.
Maybe they watched the premiere of a popular game show that night.
Welcome to Monday at the Millionaire Show. That's right. Hey, we're on Monday nights now, along with Monday Night Football. And here to kick off our new season, we have 10 amazing athletes ready to tackle that hot seat and go for $1 million.
In the sports world, one of the biggest stories would soon break.
Is Michael Jordan returning to the NBA with the Washington Wizards? Tonight, the legendary pro basketball star has reportedly made a decision.
From his lips, last thing he said to all the guys he was hanging out with, there, you guys got your story. Yes, we do. Michael Jordan spent a half hour with a gaggle of reporters outside Hoops the Gym in Chicago, where he's been working out. After the talk, he left the group with only one possible conclusion. He's coming back. The comeback has been working.
Tonight, he says he can talk to the dead, and his claims of psychic powers and other extraordinary abilities have sparked some scathing skepticism. John Edward, compelling to some, controversial to others, the host of Crossing Over, is here to answer your questions and take your calls, and he's next on Larry King Live.
We're back on Larry King Live. Before we continue with John Edward, we have just learned from our sister network, CNNSI, through a very informed source, that Michael Jordan will announce within 10 days that he is returning. He'll be playing basketball this year for the team he owns. They'll have to switch the ownership, of course, the Washington Wizards. The reason giving? No other reason but love of the game, nothing else. CNNSI reporting to us that Michael Jordan will announce his return to basketball within the next 10 days for the, of course, the Wizards. And of course, you probably knew that. Anyway, we're back with John Edward. His book is Crossing Over. The book will be number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list this Sunday, and his show is in syndication. And the caller is from Brooklyn, where Michael was born. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm trying to connect with my aunt.
Meanwhile, on CNN that night, a familiar face and a familiar voice for the audience here in St. Louis and KMOX.
I'm for a one-on-one conversation with the best known and very possibly the best sportscaster of his generation, and a man with a secret of perpetual youth, known only to a handful of Asian mystics and, of course, to Dick Clark. If only for his hosting of NBC's Olympics coverage.
We're in the middle of Olympic bounty. Everything happening at once.
He would be the best-known face and voice in TV sports.
When I sit over there and interview somebody.
Talking about the years as the Cardinal announcer.
But for more than 22 years on NBC, Bob Costas has ranged across the field of sports and well beyond.
Mr. President, feel free to use this when you're up here.
He has been behind the mic as analyst, host, play-by-play man for some of pro basketball's most memorable moments.
Jordan, open, Chicago with the lead!
Oscar time. Just as the original Olympians, the Greeks had Homer to chronicle their exploits, we've got Bob Costas. Hi. Will Michael Jordan return?
Yes. He shouldn't, but he will.
Well, question two, you anticipate. Why shouldn't he return?
He's like a guy who's on the Broadway stage, greatest performance ever, 6 encores, 12 standing ovations, and now when the people are walking out in the box office area saying this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, he comes running out in full costume saying, wait, wait, come back, there's more. He has to have a sense of theater, which he usually has had up until now.
Okay, 3, you've got a new baseball franchise. Pick anybody on your team, first 2 picks.
A-Rod and a healthy Pedro Martinez.
Okay. 4, sports figure, player, coach, or manager you'd most like to see in a high political position.
Oh, does Bill Bradley count still?
Okay. I guess, all sure. Right. 5, sports figure you'd least like to see in a high political position.
John Rocker.
The Jordan story would be discussed on and off that night. Preparing to bring the next big show to St. Louis was Mike Isaacson of the Fox Theater, who was in New York that day, traveling back to town that night.
Well, what I remember about September 10th was I was actually in New York, and I was there for meetings for what was ultimately a big personal and professional event in my life, which was the Broadway musical Thoroughly Modern Millie, which originally was supposed to open in the fall of, in September of that month. But the theater we were going into, the Marquee Theater, Reba McEntire had gone into, and Annie Get Your Gun was such a hit, it extended, and we were moved to the spring. So I was in New York on the 10th for planning meetings and everything. And then I knew I had to get on the plane that night to get back to St. Louis, because on Mondays, that's when the shows load in for our Tuesday openings. And so Blast was loading into the theater. So I remember getting home very late Monday night. I think the flight was delayed. And I'm a pretty early riser and get to work early, but I remember getting up that morning and thinking, you know, it's gonna be a busy week. Why don't I grab a few hours at home?
Meanwhile, on CBS, ABC, and NBC.
This is the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. We begin tonight with two major health care concerns affecting millions of Americans. First, about a big ripoff of the elderly. More Americans are shelling out plenty for dietary supplements that promise relief from the effects of aging, only to find themselves relieved mostly of their money.
On World News Tonight this Monday, looking for a way to keep the country out of recession. Should the government borrow money and spend more? Are there more taxes to be cut? The government sponsors a report on the sexual exploitation of children. Is it really as bad as the report says? We'll take a closer look. What do Ted Turner, Scottie Pippen, and David Rockefeller have in common? Yes, they're all rich. So why are they being subsidized? And whether it is unconventional beauty or imperfection in the modeling business, it sells.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to begin tonight with the red-hot battle about keeping the country out of recession. The country has not yet had two quarters with negative growth.
Tonight, new information on the danger and waste of money involving those popular herbal supplements.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw.
Good evening. President Bush tonight is under increasing pressure to do something about the troubles in the American
economy. The Rams were 1-0. X-rays that day revealed no fracture to quarterback Kurt Warner's thumb, but they said he would miss practice time that week to recover. Coach Mike Martz gave the team a day off after their overtime win, but there was still one more NFL game to be played in Week 1.
The big game's on. It's Monday night. Showtime. And ready to fight. Let's go. This year, the Broncos are gonna get freaky. Romo and Greasy, Strahan and Tiki. Let's kick the big game off. Kick it!
The season premiere of ABC's Monday Night Football, and we'll raise the curtain with a blockbuster. Brian Greasy, Terrell Davis, and the charged-up Denver Broncos christen their new stadium against the NFC champions. A year ago, the Giants rode Jim Fossil's guarantee all the way to Super Bowl 35, only to be crushed by the Baltimore Ravens. Tonight, with unfinished business, they begin a new trip.
I'm ready to go. I think everybody's ready to go.
While many watched Monday Night Football on ABC, the rest of the world recapped their own headlines, including the BBC and the CBC.
Now on BBC World with Patrick O'Connell in New York and Michelle Hussein in London, World Business Report.
President Bush's economic advisor. It's not recession, it feels like one.
And in Europe, an end to the long-running battle to win control of Gucci.
A sigh of relief. The Dow's as flat as a pancake, practically unchanged. The Nasdaq's up 7.
Hello, I'm Nancy Wilson at News World's National News Center. The Canadian Alliance says it's the end of the bad old days. Three rebel MPs have come home. One more will probably follow, and eight others will be expelled from the party's caucus. But problem solved? Well, maybe not. The CBC's Julie Van Dusen reports.
MP Art Hanger was one of the first.
Meanwhile, back in the USA.
I want to shift gears just a bit because you made some news. We've showed a clip that showed that with Vince McMahon, you certainly were not unwilling to take on folks. Nobody can ever call you a sports shill. But outside sports, you had a recent interview with Rush Limbaugh that made some news because he seemed to think that you were charging him with a kind of racial insensitivity. I thought you might want to just talk about that.
Thanks, because I felt bad about it. I like Rush Limbaugh. You don't have to be in the same political camp as someone to enjoy their company. I've been with Rush on a number of occasions. We're both sports fans. We have a lot of mutual friends. I've enjoyed his company. I have never felt in conversations with him or observing him interact with anyone that there was even a trace of personal racism in Rush Limbaugh. I don't think that for a second. The question I asked, which I thought was a nuanced question, it came at the end of an interview on KMOX in St. Louis. I said, look, there is a political correctness that often stays people's hands about criticizing anyone who happens to be black or who cloaks themselves in the banner of speaking for African Americans. There's a certain political correctness where people are afraid they'll be charged with racism, and you shouldn't be handcuffed by that. It is true that you will criticize people who happen to be African American because they're politically liberal, just like you criticize white political liberals. And it is part of your style sometimes to personally mock people, to call Mario Cuomo Mario Cuomo, or Dick Gephardt Little Dickie Gephardt. But do you have to be careful when the target of the criticism happens to be black and you seem to make fun of the name of Kwaeze Mfume or the speech pattern of Jesse Jackson, even though you could say that it's the same as for others, given the level of demagoguery and emotion on both sides of the issue, and given the fact that at least the fringe of those who call themselves conservative may in fact be bigots, not you, Rush, but some of your audience,
he took offense.
Are you inadvertently giving them comfort, and should you reconsider just that one element? I didn't mean it as an accusation. His answer was an excellent answer, and I gave him plenty of time to explain himself, but he took it as a personal accusation of racism, and the next day I called his radio show to clear it up, because I don't think that at all, and I like Rush Limbaugh personally.
Okay, thanks. When we come back, we're going to talk about
September 10th, 2001, Bob Costas on CNN's short-lived show Greenfield at Large, with a mention to KMOX. When we continue, The Night Before with Letterman and Leno.
The Day Before, a September 11th retrospective, continues next on KMOX. KMOX Radio and St. Louis Talks presents The Day Before.
On the night of September 10th, the news and commentary shows were starting to wrap up like crossfire on CNN.
Tonight, all eyes are on the economy, but there seems little good news in sight. Are the current economic woes just a bump in the road? Or will they derail the Bush agenda?
Live from Washington, Crossfire. On the left, Bill Press. On the right, Tucker Carlson.
Lou Dobbs would interview Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld.
Mr. Secretary, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Lou. Good to be here.
Walter Wriston once said to me that bureaucracy is a state of mind. And that state of mind has, as you well know, better than I suspect anyone, gripped the Pentagon for a very long time. Will you be able, do you believe, to change the culture there?
Oh, I think we will. You know, if you think about it, in the private sector, a company that fails to adapt to new circumstance fails and dies. In government, it can't die, so it goes on. So the incentive to adapt is much less. We need to fashion incentives and disincentives that will enable us to be much more innovative and much less bureaucratic.
And we've got. And before you went to bed, you may have caught a little bit of comedy.
The mysterious triangle where hundreds of ships and planes have vanished. It's The Late Show with David Letterman. Tonight, I'm live with Regis and Kelly Ripa, and comedian Bob Sarlat, plus Paul Schaefer and the CBS Orchestra. And now, the little robot who just wants to be loved, David Letterman.
I owe silver. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Forget it. I'm in a lousy mood. I'm rotten. Listen to what happened to me. Last night, I get a phone call. It's mom. I find out she's dating a congressman.
No.
Boy, this, have you been following the Gary Condit saga? This guy's a piece of work, ain't he? So what he does is he gives himself over the weekend, he gives himself a lie detector test. And then he announces that he was telling the truth. Well.
Coming September 23rd, a primetime special, 50 years of NBC Late Night.
It's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Featuring Kevin Eubanks and the Tonight Show Band. And me, I'm Ed Hall. Tonight, Jay welcomes Keanu Reeves. The host of Talk Soup, Aisha Tyler. The music of Babyface. And headlines. And now, Jay Leno.
Yesterday, President Bush flipped a coin from the Oval Office for the opening of the 10 NFL games. The bad news, had to borrow the coin from Social Security. Yeah, I took it out of the lockbox. Yeah, not a lot left there. And President Bush has called an emergency economic summit to deal with this recession. Yeah, Bush said he's very worried about job loss. Yeah, his own. Too good. But good news. President Bush said today he will move to ask Congress to legalize aliens. So finally, some good news for Anne Heche. Huh? Woo! Thankfully.
And that was September 10th, 2001, the day before it all changed in America. When we come back, the news that broke on KMOX and the follow-up stories from our guests on what happened next when we continue.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.